Mark Cabali has made himself suddenly available and screwed up the show, I might add, at least the order we were going to go
yeah,
in.
He was going to be in a different time slot.
Yeah,
now
he was
going
to be
magically
12:15 to 1:15, and now all of a sudden he calls limits after I tease to more baseball talk and says, I'm available, and what do? We have to go to him, and there he is in the middle of our screen,
yeah.
Mark Cabali. What's happening, big boy?
Because, Joe, you always strict to it, you know, really strict game plan here when you do your show. It's like
that's right.
You never call an audible ever before. So,
are you sick?
Who, me or Bob?
You. You sound like you.
What are you assuming?
Me?
I'm sick.
You're assuming Bob is sick.
You meant that in a derogatory way, Mark. Am I sick?
I'm sick. Yeah.
You're in TJ Watt's camp. I see with a hat on there, huh? You think
is that a TJ Watt cap?
It's a TJ Watt hat.
You think he's going to sign here, Mark, or what? What's going to happen here with TJ Watt?
I made a deal. I have to wear this hat until he signs a new contract. So it's going to turn black by the time September 9th comes around, instead of the white it is right now. Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I wouldn't say inevitable because obviously anything can happen, but it's going to get done with this amount of money. Some things have to be worked out here and there, but it's the guaranteed money. It's the length of the contract. It's just another thing is I've been saying this for a while now. What incentive does TJ Watt have right now to sign this deal? There's no incentive. He's going to go to training camp. Even if he is signed, he's not going to participate that much. Do your hold-in. Do your side work. Don't play the preseason like you normally don't play your preseason. You probably don't want a 31-year-old playing the preseason that much. And come September 6, 7, 8, 9, whenever it is, you sign your deal and you make sure, you know.
How about the Steelers' point of view, though?
If a person doesn't get $50 million, you make sure – Aiden Hutchinson doesn't get $50 million, then you get your money.
If you wait, though, it gets more expensive, though, doesn't it? Because we've already seen that twice now with Crosby's deal and also the one with Myles Garrett, and all of a sudden the price keeps going higher. What if Micah Parsons signed for, you know, and he's one of them and Trey Hendrickson's the other, both sitting out there. They're all waiting for deals. If you wait too long, do you cost yourself more money?
Well, in this case, I think it makes him more money. What?
Well, I'm talking about costing the Steelers. That's what I mean. The Steelers, by waiting, costing themselves more money, maybe.
That's the point of waiting. I mean, if you're waiting, you're willing to accept that possibility that you might have to pay a couple extra more bucks if you wait these things out. But in TJ's case, I mean, I don't see any downside whatsoever of him waiting. Well, the worst thing can happen is what? He gets paid more money. You know, that's the only way I look at it right now. You can't force him to sign. He can just do what he wants at this point. I mean, the Steelers have made it quite clear they want to bring him in. I mean, even if he has to know his options too. What is his options? His options is to play out the season and potentially.
Oh, he could cause some trouble and try to get traded. It's been proven under Mike Tomlin that all you have to do is cause a little trouble and profess yourself as more of a hostage than a volunteer, and the Steelers will grant your wish in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I don't see TJ Watt being that guy, but you're not that guy until you're that guy, right? If it really bothers him to that point, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't tickle his fancy. Is that a word I should use? Of Jalen Ramsey getting $26 million and DK Metcalf getting $25 million and then pursuing Aaron Rodgers like he's did. And I've been here 7 years as the all-time sack leader in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm on the back burner here?
By the way.
Should I be problem number one? Should I be number one on the list?
Well, but if the demands aren't being met, I mean, if you could have a lot of – you think you're number one and they can make you an offer and you think I am worth more, and that's where we are right now, right? It's about what you perceive yourself to be worth, and the problem is the market keeps changing. If you wait too long, the market changes even more.
Yeah, I hear you. And like I said, that's in TJ Watt's favor.
Yes.
It's not in his,
that's why I'm surprised it's taking this long. They probably would have saved themselves some money. Let's say they did this before Max Crosby ever signed. Do you think he would be agreeable back then to a deal that would be similar a little less than the one that Garrett got?
Was that prior Miles Garrett?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see TJ Watt as a petty guy for the most point, but something tells me he wants a penny more than Myles Garrett. So I don't know if it would have mattered with Max Crosby.
But before Garrett,
what about Micah Parsons? I think TJ would want to
different position, Joe. Different position, different age too. So at least you can say, wait a second, this guy's 26 and he really doesn't play my position. So that's a little different.
Seem mildly depressed today, big boy, and you're also staring down the whole time. Is your phone like on the table in front of you?
I can't get this camera to work, man.
It's working fine. Everybody can see you. Is there anything wrong with his camera limits?
No, I think it looks fine.
You just adjusted it and made it worse, and now you look like a stick figure.
You got a lot of headroom there.
Well, you got that. What's the bright thing behind you? Is that a window or a?
It's the window. I'm trying to get out of the window. That's the whole point.
Yeah, get out of the window.
There's a glare, Mark.
Nobody cares about the glare. You look better when you came on, and you've been looking down the whole time during the interview.
Okay, let me get back to my original spot.
Yeah, that's fine. That looks good.
That's fine.
It gives you some pizzazz because there's a poster in the background, and we all get to wonder what it is.
It was my first ever year on the beat in 2003. All the press passes, and if you look, that was the year they went 6-10.
I keep all the press passes that I have, too. I'm going to make a collage like that.
Not anymore, but
I burned all mine. And just to clarify, that's not a TJ Watt hat. That's a Thomas Jefferson hat. Correct.
Yeah. And by the way, I thought you would sell yours on eBay for some money. Oh, that was Ron.
Remember that fiasco, Bob?
Wait, Ron sold his press passes online?
No, he gave them to somebody at the station. What happened? Tell the story, Cabali. I don't even know the whole story.
Oh, I just know that they were on the on eBay for somebody to buy.
Oh,
and
no.
Everybody was making fun of him.
It's coming back to me now. It's coming back to me now. He gave them to somebody here who told Ron, hey, those are really cool. I just want those, like pictures of Ron. Mm-hmm. Next thing we knew, there was Ron's pictures for sale on eBay.
That's great.
His old media credentials.
Who was it? Was it Falsey?
I remember that.
I can't tell you.
I remember that incident. That was pretty wild.
I don't know. I think Ron was making a couple extra bucks for some beer.
Ron wasn't. He doesn't need to pay. He didn't pay for a beer around here for 40 straight years. Are you kidding me?
Free and free light, baby. Is that what he says? Free and free light.
So, big boy, how about the trade here? I actually thought it was a great trade. How can anybody think it's not a great trade? They got two guys who can play for one guy who can't.
Yeah. No, I mean, not only that is they didn't really – I don't think Minka Fitzpatrick was on their long-term list of re-signing next year. There was a very good chance they could have moved him after the season, cut him, whatever, because that cap number was going to be extremely high. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is still a high-level cornerback. So you're pretty much swapping those two out, right, with salary-wise for the most part.
Is he a cornerback?
Or is he a
safety
or both?
Is he a slot corner? What is he? Well, he got mad at a Miami reporter for calling him a cornerback.
I was told not long after the trade that they view him as an outside corner and inside corner who can also play some safety as well. So I think – I mean, you just think about it, guys. He's getting paid $26 million. He's going to be on the field. I mean,
did you notice
one way or another,
Joe just left.
Going to be playing 90% of the snaps on the field.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how it should be.
Joe went.
He went because there's a slice of Broadway here, and he immediately prioritized food over on this program.
Really?
Incredible slice on Broadway.
He just left mid-show.
He just prioritized food over you and us.
And now I get to leave.
And now here we are. Like, and now Austin's leaving. You know one thing I won't do, Mark? I'm not going to do a walk-off for you.
I'm not going to sit here with this guy. He comes on at the last second, Bob, and I'm not going to – there's only one piece of plain pizza out there if you want it, by the way.
I am not going to prioritize food over you or Mark. It's just not doing it.
Well, you were in the middle of a question, so I figured I had a minute.
But you're on camera, and you just mysteriously disappeared.
Did he see it?
Everyone saw it.
I do forget I'm on camera. From time to time.
I thought you had the case of the bathroom-ish.
We talked about that. We're not going to go down that road again.
More blowouts than the Bills-Cowboys than the Bills-Cowboys Super Bowl. All right, so we all like that trade. How about the offseason as a whole? Bob created waves all over town yesterday when he gave the Steelers offseason an A. If you include them keeping keeping Tomlin and the whatever coaching moves they did and didn't make. So beyond the roster, I'm saying, what grade would you give their offseason, Mark?
Ooh. I mean, they've upgraded in a number of positions on paper, and that's all you can go by right now, right?
Right. It's just on paper,
obviously. So when you look at paper, I would say that they've done better for themselves, but they still have added a bunch of 30-year-olds now. I mean, Jalen Ramsey's 30.
But they're not attached to the long-term future of these guys.
That's what I like best, big boy. They're not attached to any of them.
That's something Omar has been extremely diligent in doing recently since he's got here. He hasn't been attached to anybody. If it doesn't work this year, you know what? We'll do it again next year with somebody else. And he just keeps doing it until you find that mix of right people. So, no, they're not attached to anybody who they don't want to be attached to. But I don't know if I quite say A yet, just because of the age. I mean, you got Slay at 34, Rogers at 41, Ramsey at 31, Jonnu Smith will be 30. You still got guys upper age that you can't really say that it's been great. But it's definitely – I think there are definitely an upgraded team compared to last
year. My A comes from the point that I thought at the beginning of this process, before any of it happened, season ended, people were looking at this year's Steeler team based on what they had last year and say, well, they're not going to be a contender or even interesting to watch over the next several years. They still don't have a quarterback, which they still don't do. But they have moved in the direction of trying to make this season as relevant as they possibly can. Maybe to their own detriment in terms of being better than they could have been and being in a better draft position next year. But my point is they're not doing anything to make this wasted season. They're trying to do what they have to do to get into this dance and see what happens. And
I might add to that, and I agree with Bob, not on the A. I give the offseason a D. A D because D. They didn't trade Tomlin to the Bears when they had a chance. That's A, and I don't think they upgraded at quarterback. And it's a coach quarterback league. And if you don't have those two things going for you, then the rest is rearranging deck chairs, even though I like almost everything else they've done, big boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to come down if Aaron Rodgers is still or can't turn into that above average quarterback. I mean, you can add anybody you want here, but unless you get good quarterback play or above average quarterback play, you're still going to be in the same position. But I think they have surrounded their quarterback with a better players to be able to make him succeed. And one thing the Steelers have done is what I guess the Penguins were trying to do. They're trying to win now while build for the future.
Never easy, never easy.
I know, it's almost impossible, Bob. It's almost impossible to do that. But they're trying to balance that fine line of bringing these guys in and being possible to win this year while still having a bunch of core young guys, a bunch of, 11 draft picks next year, close to $100 million in salary cap as well available to them. So they're trying to balance that fine line. It might be easier to do that in football and hockey. It might be unfair for me to say something like that, but I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do both. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
We'll be back with the big boy in just a moment for more Steeler talk. I want to break down some of these other offseason moves. You're joining us till the end of the hour, correct?
Whenever Austin says so, because he's the boss.
Well, he's also searching for pizza right now. Oh, there you are.
The pizza has been found, Bob.
Yeah, well, I'm the only one who hasn't. I'm the only one who hasn't left you, Mark.
Can you go get Bob a slice already?
Yeah, Bob, I'll go get you.
No,
some.
That's okay.
Bob, you can get your own slice. The segment's done.
But I'm professional enough to know that this is on a television screen and you left. You did the ultimate walk-off right there. Food. I understand it, though. You know, it's food, and you want to get it before everybody else does.
And now it's getting cold. Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Coming up on the 50-minute mark pretty soon here, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. We have the big boy on video for an hour. If you don't have our YouTube channel, you haven't subscribed yet, you really should. You get a good look at Bob and now the big boy sitting at home where he does his podcast with Chris Mack, where he does his columns for the Pat McAfee show, and where he talks to everybody on our station several times a week. We really value his contributions, don't we, Bob?
We do. And he's on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown on a regular basis, except when I overbook. And he's not on, but he gets paid anyway.
Mark, I think that a huge key here, in fact, other than quarterback, if I had to pick the biggest key to this whole team this year, it's the young offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? And how do you think both of these guys are going to turn out this year?
Well, I might have to narrow it down to your left tackle. I do, even though Fatanu has not played a ton, he only played a little bit last year, I truly have full confidence in him coming in and, you know, being a very good player right away to being a very, very good player by the end of the season. Just how his makeup was and what you saw from him last year and just how he goes about his business. He has that feeling of a guy that's maybe not a can't miss, but darn close to a can't miss guy. I have no worries about him. Zach Frazier. I keep saying this about Zach Frazier. He's an 8 to 10 time Pro Bowler, couple time All Pro in the making here. I mean, maybe it'll be this year. He's one of the top three centers in the league, probably top five centers in the league already. I like what Mason McCormick did, and obviously Sayamalu's that vet. But Broderick Jones, it's all linked to him. What he's able to do on that left side, if he's able to play, I mean, he doesn't have to play great. But if he just plays above average to above average, I think this offensive line is being slept on a little bit. You look anybody's rankings, guys. You're looking 26th, 28th, 29th ranked offensive line going into the season, just based a lot on what happened last year. But there's a ton of talent here. And things can go south in a hurry with his entire team if this offensive line does not gel together. They got a ton of talent. I think it all hinges with Broderick Jones. He looks better. He moves quick. He has everything you need in a left tackle, but he just got to get the old mentals right. If he's going to get those right, they'll have a very, very good offensive line this year.
Mm-hmm. No concerns at all about Fatanu not playing at all last year and coming back? No,
he played a little bit. They viewed him as a star last year in what they saw from him in the preseason. You remember they were benching Broderick Jones.
Oh, I do remember.
Benched him, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
but Broderick Jones quickly, once had the same kind of accolades thrown when he was taken, where he was taken. Everybody thought he was going to be a can't miss guy, but then they moved him to right. You know, and that may have done something to him.
Broderick Jones was though, he fit the bill. He had the size, the athleticism that just wows you. Fatanu not only has that part, but he played in a whole ton of games at Washington, important games. Mm-hmm. At Georgia, they played some important games, but he only had a dozen or so starts at Georgia. He just really wasn't ready yet to jump in like he did. So maybe it takes him longer than a Fatanu. I really do think Fatanu is going to be really good this year. I really do. And I think Mason McCormick is a guy that you're going to look back on, and he's going to be like a Ramon Foster guy, you know, a guy that just solid, not mm-hmm. going to wow you, but just there every single day. He works his butt off. He's a mean SOB between the lines. Nicest guy in the world outside the line, man. He has Ramon Foster vibes to me of how he plays and how he goes about his business. It's just what he feels like he reminds me of.
Sunny today with a high of 85. Very quickly, big boy, give me an 85 from Steeler history. Was Jay Reimersma 85?
What was 85. Ebron? Yeah, Eric Ebron. What was he? Was he 85, Eric Ebron, when he was here?
Yes.
Yeah. He was. I think he was. What about back in
Calvin Austin or Calvin Sweeney?
Calvin Sweeney?
Was he 85?
Oh, I got one. No, I was going to think Darius Hayward Bay, but he was 88.
88, right.
85.
I thought Sweeney was 85.
You might be right.
What about
Bob?
Jonathan Hayes?
You might be right about back Jonathan Hayes. All right. I'll tell you who's worn the 85 in Steelers history.
Oh, don't forget about Xavier Grimble.
Oh, who can? Grimble.
Bob.
Grimble be nimble, Grimble be quick. Grimble ain't around.
The candlestick.
I'll tell you who's worn the number 85. Ah, this list sucks, Bob. You can't even
Jonathan
tell.
Jonathan Hayes.
I think Sweeney was 85. For some reason,
I thought he was 86.
You're right about Calvin Sweeney, Bob. You're right about him, and congrats to you for that.
What about Darius Hayward-Bay or Nate Washington?
Yes. Darius Hayward-Bay was 88.
He was?
Well, Pro Football Reference has him as 85 for like a minute.
Don't disagree with Bob Limit.
I don't. He was 88. But when
Jonathan Hayes was 85. Mitch Lyons was 85. Corey Geeson, you remember him, big boy?
Geeson.
John Alfred, you remember Allred? You remember him?
John Allred, I remember him.
Legendary tight figure. Reimersma. I was all over that, Bob.
Yes. Yeah. That's Buffalo native.
What about Tony Bova from 1946 to 1947? Any relation to our promo guy, Joey Bova?
Maybe. And don't forget about David Johnson. And Bob, you were right. When he first got here, Darius Hayward-Bay was 85. Don't let limits.
You would think the guy that does play-by-play for the Steelers preseason games would know the numbers. Right,
impressive.
Well, I think
I did.
It's hard to remember all of them, for goodness sakes. I mean, they change a lot. And then you have guys coming in making their numbers. They want this number. This guy changes to another number. And Mark, you know, man, they got 92 players during that time.
Bob,
they come
can
and
I
go.
Be your spotter for the number home preseason game this year?
Bob, can Limits be your spotter?
You want to come on the road? I have to get that approved.
Oh,
wow. Is that
actually
an offer?
You know what?
Jared, did you just make an offer?
Jared Barton does all my work like that. He's really good at it. And you know Jared, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
So.
You can be Jared's helper, Limit.
Could I check it out for like a quarter?
I can't get you up there. Yeah. No. You know, they're tight on that stuff. So, no, Jared does that stuff. So, unfortunately, the answer is no, Austin.
Great weather at 85 for Bob and Mulsey to play golf. Fan weather brought
all
to you
sick
by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. I can't remember, big boy, and I should. With the whole George Pickens thing, are you on team addition by subtraction or team Pompeiani, which is, man, that would have been interesting to keep him with DK Metcalf for Aaron Rodgers' sake. Which team were you on?
Honestly, I'm a part of both. I am very interested to see what they would have been able to do if they were able to keep those together. But I think in the long term of things, they had to do that. It was just a pipe bomb ready to explode. For a wrestling term right there, man. I just don't think that would have turned out the way.
How about if it did, though? Nice. How about if it did? How about if he checked his ego in the back seat and said, I got to play for money?
Hey, Bob.
I'm just asking.
Talked to George Pickens in 4 years.
I know what he's like, but I also know Jalen Ramsey has that ability, too, at times.
Do you think, by coincidence, they get rid of George Pickens, Najee Harris, and Minka Fitzpatrick?
All right, so you're tying them all together?
And Pinkett.
Not to the same degree, but
Jalen Ramsey has some interesting little incidents in his past. He was calling like for Jacksonville to get rid of their coaching staff after his first season, I think. And then
how would that go over here?
And then there were other incidents. And then Aaron Rodgers, like I've heard on this station, people say he's never had a problem with a teammate. All you have to do is Google Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley, Aaron Rodgers to find that that's not true. Or you could go and talk to Mike Williams from last year after Aaron Rodgers. What was it? He didn't run his route on the red line, Bob? Was it the red line?
Yeah, whatever happened there that led to a big brouhaha.
So I'm not sure
there's a potential
that
for a lot of things.
True. There,
right.
So anybody who downplays at least the potential for a little drama around here, and when isn't there drama around here, is crazy, big boy, because the potential is there.
Yeah, but you mentioned not high level people right there either. JerMichael Finley, wasn't he a producer for you guys?
I mean, he was a pretty good player, and Greg Jennings was a very good player. JerMichael Finley was a producer for us.
He's still here. His name is Craig.
The point being, not who's high profile who has criticized Rodgers, but the idea that nobody's ever had a problem with Rodgers among teammates is patently false.
Well, that's impossible to say. Everybody has a problem with somebody. I'm sure one of your 87 co-hosts you've worked with, Joe, you've had problems with as well.
I never claimed otherwise.
That doesn't mean you're the problem.
Yeah, I never claimed otherwise.
Well, what I'm saying is, sometimes you might have a disagreement with one person. Doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Who said he was a bad person? I said the idea that he's never never had problems with teammates that's been pushed on this station is false.
Well, what I'm saying is somebody would come to say, well, Joe, he's a tough guy to work with because he worked with so-and-so and they didn't get along. Well, that doesn't really apply right now, does it?
So I don't know yet. The season hasn't started. There is some history of that. Go ask Mike McCarthy about his job in Green Bay. Do you think him and Aaron Rodgers at Loggerheads might have had something to do with Mike McCarthy being gone? Or no?
Loggerheads.
What are loggerheads, Bob?
Snakes or beer? One of the two.
I don't know.
Even if you look at a guy like last year, I think some of the issues in New York were some of the established people in New York weren't happy that he was bringing in some of his buddies. You know what I'm saying? The Alan Lazards or so, then maybe that's why Garrett Wilson wasn't very happy. I think that rubbed some people the wrong way. But when you're in New York,
is it still out there? Is it a possibility, Alan Lazard? Because they're still looking technically for a number two.
Let's hope not.
Alan Lazard might come here?
I don't know. I'm just saying that was we talked about that several weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden we haven't heard a thing about it. This is after they acquired Jonnu Smith.
They have three Alan Lazards on this team already.
Roman Wilson being one of them.
Bob Woods being another.
Yeah. Spence Skoranek.
Are you optimistic about
that? Did you see the highlight of Aaron Rodgers throwing an alley-oop to on a basketball court?
Skoranek. Yes, they're playing basketball in Malibu.
Are they? The guys are out in Malibu right now.
Yes. It was just a video of Aaron and Skoranek, but yeah, he threw him an alley-oop.
Wow, how about that?
How about that?
You think Skoranek is he violating his contract by playing off-season basketball, Mark?
I spoke glowingly of Skoranek a couple weeks ago, and people were making fun of me.
You said nobody wins the Super Bowl without a Skoranek on their team.
You need those type of guys, man. That type of guy right there. The win Super Bowl.
Special teams guys.
You need the Sean Morris, you know?
I'll never forget that guy. He was Antoine Randall L's little mole librarian. You remember that incident in the locker room, big boy?
I just remember trying to get on the team plane, and they let me go, and they stopped Sean Morris, and he got really offended.
Yeah, he
– when I used to ride the team plane back – 15 years ago, the security said, go ahead. And I'm like, okay. Then they stopped Sean Moore and go, I need to know who you are.
I remember I had written something critical of Ben's receivers compared to Cincy's receivers with Ocho Cinco and whoever else they brought in, TJ Houshmandzadeh and the kid Chris Henry. I was like, why don't they give Ben these weapons? So I'm in the locker room one day when that story came out back when there were newspapers and they had the newspaper in there, I think. Well, I found out they did. So we get called out by Bert or somebody like, time's up, your 20 minutes is up, leave. So I look to the far end of the locker room and there's Sean Morey with a piece of paper in his hand whispering to Randall L and they're both pointing at me. So I'm thinking, I ain't leaving now. I'm making a beeline. I'm going to deal with this right now. And what do I find over there? That Sean Morey, Antoine Randall L's little librarian, had a copy of the story with yellow highlighter of stuff that was said in it. And then Antoine Randall L, the nicest guy in the world, and you know I'm nothing if I can't tick off nice guys, Kabali. I've ticked off Jerry DiPaolo, Ray Fittipaldo, everybody else. Next thing I know, I'm toe-to-toe with Antoine Randall L. in the locker room because of Sean Morey. Yes. He says, why are you guys always so negative? I said, I wrote a great story about you and your mom when you got drafted. You never came up to me, you and Sean Morey, and said what a great job I did. Who's accentuating the negative here, me or you? You never say anything about all the good stuff I write. I write something mildly negative, and now you're harping on the negative.
How far away were
you?
So
who's harping on the negative, the media or the player? So we're up in each other's faces.
Nose to nose.
Nose to nose with Antoine Randall L, of all people.
And you're one of the nicest guys.
One of the nicest guys
on Earth. You're a little taller.
And it was Sean Morey's fault.
Did you have a beating heart? Was racing? Was it going faster?
No, but David, who was the other PR guy over there? David somebody. I can't remember his
Lockett.
Name. Lockett. Davey Lockett. Step in between us like a boxing referee. He steps in between us, and then I had to go up to his office. I think he was just protecting me. But then by the end of the year, well, first of all, by the end of the year, I was proved wrong because they beat the Bengals in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl with their receiving core playing a big role in it. And then at a golf tournament after the year, myself and Antoine Randall L. buried the hatchet, Bob.
And that's when you weren't playing golf back then. You just, it had to be
no,
at the 19th
I was just
hole.
There
you were just
covering
there to drink.
It, yeah.
Okay.
So the story.
What about Sean Morey? He still hates you though?
Well, Sean Morey, he pissed me off with that. I'll just be honest about that.
He was trying to.
Stir it up in there. Anyway,
you've never been accused of stirring anything up, Joe, in your life.
No, never. Which player has been most angry at you in your career? I'm very curious to hear this.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's James Harrison, easily.
Any particular incident you could refer us to?
Yeah, he thought I wrote something bad about him. So he caught me after. You remember the game, Monday night game or Sunday night game against Baltimore at home when he had like 3 sacks and interception? He
oh, yeah.
Was crazy.
Yeah.
And I went out to talk to him because we're on deadline, and he just snapped on me because he thought I wrote something or said something on the radio.
Oh, my God.
And he's just screaming at me and yelling at me. And Brett Kiesel looks at Scott Brown and says, somebody better get him away from him. Turns out he
he's the last guy I'd want to tick off. What?
He misidentified me as another large mark in the Pittsburgh media.
Ah. Wait, so he wasn't even mad at you then?
No, but he never admitted it. Even later on, he thought still. So I know it was you. I'm like, it wasn't me. It was the other guy.
You caught some strays there. Don't you feel bad for Cabali, Bob?
No, I got some with Mike Wallace.
Bob, it gets tense in there sometimes.
Answer this honestly, because you're an incredibly nice man. You really are.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Has any athlete ever got up in your face?
Yeah, Mike Evans.
What happened? Evans for the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No. The Evans. Who is it? Mike Evans? Mark, help me out. He was a defensive lineman.
Donald Evans.
Donald Evans.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened?
Well, we just talked about doing a post-game show or something of that nature, and we were critical of him because he didn't play well. Well, the next time I was in there, he made sure he told me, you're critical of me. Have you ever played football in here? And one of those, no, of course I've not played football. Look at me.
Neither has Bill Belichick, you should have said.
Well, at the time, this was how many years ago? But it got a little tense in there, and I just said, look, it's fair game, man. We're just trying to be honest about it. I think you should be honest about your game last week. Instead of looking at me, you know, look at your own self-critique.
Wow.
Oh, Bob.
That was all. I mean, and that's what I had to say. I mean,
he said
what
he said. Late 90s, right?
Yeah, I was in the 90s. I just, you know, my heart was racing, though. I have to be honest with you. The other time was Lawrence Taylor. I got in. We went on the road.
Lawrence Taylor?
Well, this wasn't my fault, but because I was a visiting media person, it became my fault. We went into the locker room, and it was a simple situation in New York. We're getting ready for a big Steelers game. We went there in advance, and all I wanted to do was talk to Lawrence Taylor, but I had no idea that he had an off-again, on-again relationship with the media. When he spoke, you had to honor that. I didn't know that. So I went in, went to his locker, introduced myself, and he kind of slapped my hand away, said, I'm not talking. And I said, all I wanted to do was get an answer. You could have given me a better answer than hitting my hand. Like that. Like, it just got my Italian blood going a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So then immediately I got escorted out of there.
Wow.
But I didn't do anything. All I asked him a question. That's all.
So, oh, my God.
Can we talk?
It's a different side of Pomp.
What if Pomp fought Lawrence Taylor?
No, that would
limit.
No. That's
not happening.
I'd love
to officiate that.
You guys have both had incidents with maybe the last two people in the history of the league that anybody would want to have them with, James Harrison and Taylor.
No, Donald. Oh, he had James Harrison?
Yeah.
No,
well, you just said Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor, right.
Yeah.
Everybody steered clear of Lambert, right?
Yeah.
Except for Ron. I think
but,
Ron
I mean,
may have
then,
had an incident with him.
Hey, Mark, you know this. Back then, things were different. You could go in and talk to anyone. I thought any day, you know, there was designated time areas. And in New York, I didn't know he had that. I had no idea. It was an open locker room, and that's all I wanted to do was ask him a couple of questions.
So. Big boy, did I ever tell you about my run-in with Tom Barrasso?
Misunderstood.
Knowing Barrasso and knowing a Joe Starkey that can get hot, I can imagine where this
Joe can get hot. Have you ever heard some of these shows where someone calls on Hey, Tony. Come on, Tony. Joey.
So the story begins with me speaking of the other Mark in Penguins Media. He ran a something called the Penguins Report. And I wrote a story on Tom Barrasso in there where I said that Barrasso has more personal baggage than a fleet of UPS carriers. And he didn't like that line.
Well, that was pretty, harsh. That was pretty harsh.
He came up to me before a practice and said, Starkey, why don't you come on the ice and take a couple shots? And there would have been a fight, except I thought better of this. The line that came into my mind immediately was, yeah, I'll take a shot from center ice like Tom Fitzgerald did in last year's playoffs. Bet you can't stop that one. But I didn't say it.
You could have been a rich man. You could have been a rich man.
I would have been a rich man, Bob. Remember the Tom Fitzgerald shot that beat him from center ice?
I do remember that one. But I can't believe you were – and you stopped yourself. Normally you don't stop yourself.
Yeah, I stopped myself. Why don't you come out here?
What do you think his reaction would have been had you said those exact words?
He would have swung his stick at me, I think.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. He would have come back at you with some verbiage, because he always took pride in his. He was very articulate in an interview. I thought he was good. And sometimes too insightful to the point where he was assuming you're asking something you really weren't.
Yeah. Let me try one from just inside the right blue line, Tommy.
Like David Volek did.
See if you can stop that one. Bob, yeah, we get ugly at times, but mostly respect.
Yeah.
Ben and I
would say that, Bob, would you have think that Joe would bite his tongue now if this happened? No, he would let it fly.
No, this version of Joe Starkey right here, there would have been no holds barred. I mean, he would have just gone in there and said whatever he wanted to say. And then you could see the eyes get bigger, the glasses get a little steamier, and the next thing you know, there's a full-blown riot going on in the locker room.
You should have seen me and Yager at times, or me and Marlon Byrd once in the Reds locker room.
Marlon Byrd was a little testy. I remember that.
God, did that get ugly now that I...
You should write a book about all the media fights.
Me and Ben was sometimes an unpleasant character to deal with. Would you agree with that, Cabali? He got you once on what?
He got me once in the lobby.
What'd he say?
He started screaming at me in the lobby after the Oakland game.
What happened?
I said, you know, you didn't have to do this in front of everybody else.
Was that the one with the broken X-ray machine game?
Yeah, and he didn't go back into the game, and he wasn't whoever the coordinator was at the time. Was it Haley?
I think it was Haley. What? Tell us the story.
I might have tweeted something to the fact that he has even went over and talked to Haley since he's coming out, something like that. So he just starts yelling at me in the entranceway of the facility. About, I saw what you wrote on social media. See, I bit my tongue there. I was going to say, but Ben, you don't do social media. But I didn't. I let it go.
I like that.
I want to hear the Marlon Byrd story.
That's an oldie but a goodie. This was the last game of the season in Cincinnati in 2013.
Right.
So we're getting everything's clinched. The Reds are coming to town Tuesday night, I believe, for the wild card game. What would become the famous wild card game, right, Bob?
Yeah, the Cueto game.
So we interview Marlon Byrd after the game in Cincy. Everything's nice, and then I find out the savvy old news hound stayed around the locker room. Okay, and I find out that whoever was supposed to pitch for the Reds in the wild card game was not pitching. It was going to be Johnny Cueto coming off an injury. So hardly anybody's left. So I'm like, I'm going to double back and ask some of these guys about, hey, did you hear Cueto's going to pitch this game? So I go back to Marlon Byrd, and he says nothing. I'm done talking. Then the now late, great Tom Singer, you remember him from MLB.com? Yep. Great guy, great reporter. He angles his way over to Byrd, and I say, he's not talking, just like that. And Marlon Byrd took great offense to that. So next thing I know, it's Jim Turdinich. Just like David Lockett from the Steelers, it's Jim Turdinich playing Richard Steele between me and freaking Marlon Byrd, who was a big man. You remember him?
Yeah, I do.
And it got real ugly. I mean, he was in my face.
But I mean, all you did was say what he just told you to then to Tom Singer.
Yeah, there may have been a little edge when I said he's not talking.
So you said, he's not talking. Don't waste your time.
He's not talking. Right. He's don't not worry talking. About it.
Yeah. So it got real ugly. Real ugly, real fast. And that time
did your heart race that time?
That time I was not backing down because it was very ugly. As ugly as it could be.
Swear words involved?
The guy who always talks about betting witnessed it in the locker room. Who's the guy who sometimes has been on this station?
Tucapita Marcano.
No, not a player. A media guy.
I knew Kamali would like that.
A media
guy. Dave,
I'm talking about Costas. Nick
who?
Costas?
No, not him.
Dave something, right? Dave?
No, some other guy. He was
the guy who just holds the microphone.
No, it was a different guy. He was the only witness to it. And then, as a little addendum, the next morning, I'm relaying the story to Greg Brown as we enter the clubhouse. I'm saying, you wouldn't have believed what happened. And who walks right up to us again but Marlon Byrd?
In the middle of that
incredible.
Conversation.
With Greg Brown, yes.
Wow.
What did he say?
I don't remember. I don't think anything. He didn't really
need
to say anything.
I'm still not talking, okay? Leave me alone.
Oh, those were the days, Bob.
Yeah, a little give and take back and forth.
I think you win with Lawrence Taylor.
But that, yeah, absolutely. It was an innocent enough question, just like you say, hey, can we talk? That's all I wanted to do. There's no reason to.
Well, you did say, well, if you wouldn't have slapped my hand away.
Well, because he slapped my hand away. I said, well, you don't need to react this way. Just, you know.
I can't believe that story. That's the best one.
That was, yeah. And I knew what was going to happen afterwards because you just can't do stuff like that. And Austin's waving his hands in desperation.
See you, big
We're
boy.
We're way over.
That was great.
Mark.
We'll see you, fellas.
What a man you've become.